What is up, guys? It is Epic Film Guy Nick from the Epic Film Guys podcast. Oh, no Justin there. Oh, I was expecting Justin to jump in there. He is not joining me this week. Justin taking a week off, and this is going to be the first ever Epic Film Guys minisode. As you know, our Real Rundown podcast is being rebranded just over to the Epic Film Guys podcast. And while we work that out and we build up toward our best of 2015 episode that will now be next week, while we build up to that, we just wanted to take a little break here. I'm very, very busy. We're both trying to watch a lot of movies to make sure we put out the best list possible in terms of best films. So we've got a couple of little surprises here for you tonight. I'm not going to talk at you that long. All right, we're going to throw some classic Epic Film Guys at you here, and I'll set those clips up when the time comes. First, I wanted to give a couple of shout-outs here. A big, big shout-out to Paul and Wayne from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. We're actually talking about doing a crossover coming up in January, coming up probably within the next couple of weeks. They're doing a top 10 Leonardo DiCaprio films and reviewing the newest Leonardo DiCaprio film, Alejandro Iñárritu's The Revenant, which I have had a chance to see. I'm going to save my reaction for that film and everything else for their episode, though. I'm definitely very, very much looking forward to that because I'm a very, very big Leonardo DiCaprio fan. So we've got that on the horizon, and I love those guys, love their podcast, and we can't wait to have them on one of our episodes and some other good surprises coming a few months down the road. So keep your eyes open for that. Also, a big shout out to the Classy Little Podcast, Emily and James. Emily particularly has been doing a lot of work with this Potter and Family hashtag, this movement of podcasts that we are very proud to be a part of, promoting each other and doing all sorts of things, to really help boost our audience. So if you're part of that audience that came in after the hashtag, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you. We're glad to have you. If you were here before the hashtag, thank you very much for supporting us. And we're glad that you've been with us for however long you have been. It doesn't matter when you started listening. It matters that you're listening. And myself and Justin, we both very, very much appreciate it. Okay, so I'm going to set up the first of little vintage Epic Film Guys clips here. This is going to be my review of David Ayer's Fury. This was the film starring John Bernthal, Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, and a couple others. You know, the World War II film where they're a tank crew. And I had a lot of good things to say about this film when it came out, but there was one thing that just stuck in my craw that I couldn't get over, and it really, really eventually dragged down the experience of it for me. So take a listen and we'll be right back.
Why in the hell can't 300 Germans outflank a broken tank?
All right, and again, that was the first of just many little surprises we've got coming here. Again, vintage Epic Film Guys, so we want to thank you very much for listening and give you a chance to hear some of the stuff that we did before the Real Rundown podcast, before the Epic Film Guys podcast, when Justin lived in the area and we still did our video reviews, which I know I speak for him when I say I miss them very, very much. Hopefully we'll get to put one of those together later in 2016, most likely for Batman vs. Superman, because I do plan on making a trip down and seeing that film with him in that 4K Airbus IMAX theater that he loves to talk about, because I know that's just an incredible experience. It must be an incredible experience to see a film in that format. So I'm very, very eager to go and take a look at that. We've got some things we want to do here to close out 2015. And first things first, a very, very happy new year to everybody. Hope that your 2015 ended the way you wanted it to, and that your 2016 brings you nothing but good fortune and good favor. And if you can then share some of that good fortune with me, especially the fortune part, I'll be more than happy to take it. First things first, I'm going to tell you what I'm drinking tonight. Get into our normal segments here just a little bit.
I'm back. You can rally.
I'm drinking one of my favorite beers, probably top five. If I had a list of top five of beers, and this is Long Trail Brewing's Limbo IPA. Absolutely love this beer. As far as an IPA goes, it is one of the most balanced beers I've ever had. It has the bitterness from the hops that kind of punch in on the back end. It's a little floral, a little piney, and it's just perfect in its body and its texture. Everything about this beer, I just love it. It's one of my 5 out of 5-star beers. I can't wait to make the trip up to New England and visit their brewery, which is in Vermont. Now, we have a challenge coming to an end today because it is New Year's Eve. So thank you very much for spending part of your little holiday break for the new year with us. Dusted off December. I don't think anybody but Jared was able to finish the entire challenge just because the holidays got very busy for everybody. Justin and myself, of course, got very, very busy with Star Wars and everything revolving around that. Between me writing reviews, which I promise I'm going to work on those Empire and Jedi reviews, as well as a written review of The Force Awakens, even though I'm pretty sure I've said pretty much everything I want to say about it. But nevertheless, we want to thank everybody that did take part in the Dusted Off December Challenge. From Jared, who did complete the challenge, I think 10 days into December, he blew through it, knowing that he'd be busy, and it turns out he probably had the best plan of attack for it. We also want to thank Jason McCann, one of our devotees over on Facebook, Brantley Oliver, Bill Sutton, Robert Moreno was watching Dusted Off December. He was actually doing a 12 Days of Kaiju, so he was watching a lot of old Japanese big monster movies, like Gorgo and Rodan. He watched, I think, just before Christmas. And, you know, a lot of old Godzilla movies, things like that. Myself and Justin, I watched, I think, 8 films in the challenge. I couldn't honestly tell you how many Justin watched, even though he boasted so much at the beginning of the month that he was going to watch not only 10 films he hadn't seen in a long time, but he was also going to watch 10 holiday films. And I think, I don't know. You know what? He's going to listen to this and he's going to text me and be like, "You fucking asshole. I watched this and I watched this and I watched more films than you ever," and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I don't know how many he watched. I don't think he completed the challenge. I just don't think anybody did. And it's a tough month to do a film challenge in, especially if you don't attack it with the right mindset like Jared did. I also want to thank Paul from The Countdown and Emily from the Classy Little Podcast. They also did take part in the challenge. I'm not going to list all the films that everybody watched because it just takes up a ton of time and I really don't feel like it. But we definitely appreciate it, and we definitely appreciate you posting your lists over on our Facebook page or sending them to us via Twitter or however you want to get them to us, and then we can start the conversation that way. Okay, so thank you very much. Now, in terms of a January challenge, we had not actually discussed a January challenge prior to today over on our Facebook, and it was Jared that actually suggested that we do a 90s challenge, and he actually called it the Just 90s January Challenge. Now, this would be 10 films released from 1990 to 1999, and he said it can be films you've either seen before or that you've never seen before. I'm going to up the ante on that and say do half and half, but we are going to make that our official challenge for the month of January, and I'm very, very excited. There's a lot of great 90s movies, a lot of great 90s flicks that I own that I would love to watch again. And you know what? There's a ton I know from conversations with Justin and from other people that I have not seen. So I would really love the opportunity to get into that. So Just 90s January, we're going to come up with a cute little graphic for it. Justin will design that for us, and we'll get that posted up onto the page and start letting us know what you're watching. And again, we'll shout you out in the podcast, as always. So thank you very, very much for taking part in our challenges and for just being an active participant in our podcast. We definitely appreciate it. We're going to take another little break here. Now we're going to play a promo for one of the podcasts in the Podern family, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Adam.
And we encourage you to come listen to a very special program.
A podcast, unlike anything you've heard before. Right, Brian?
What? No, dude. Everyone has a podcast.
Everyone has a podcast.
What's our show about?
We talk about comedy,
sports,
science,
topical news,
meat hunting,
music,
podcasting,
Matthew McConaughey,
vision,
health and fitness,
horse cocks,
technical difficulties,
buffaloes,
popular culture,
maybe a little too much about the Asians.
Aw, your army's so cute and tiny.
Edits. Check us out on Twitter @EHAPPodcast.
Listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher, or through our website, www.ehappodcast.com. Contact us directly through ehappodcast@gmail.com. Like and subscribe on YouTube under EHAP Podcast. We're also on Facebook and Grindr.
Really? We're on Facebook?
I think so.
Hey, this is Paul.
And Wayne.
From the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast.
And these are the 10 reasons you're listening to the Epic Film Guys Real Rundown Podcast.
10, Justin.
9, Nick.
8, Film News.
7, Passionate Reviews.
6, Beer.
5, Nick's Rants.
4, Justin's Hobo Beard.
3, Entertaining Banter.
2, It's a Star Wars Circle Jerk.
Number 1, Nick is Seth Rogen's Doppelganger.
So there you go.
Epic Film Guys Real Rundown Podcast.
Get involved.
Hey, welcome to the Classy Little Podcast promo.
We're your hosts. I'm Emily.
And I'm James.
What wine are we drinking this week?
It's just a promo, so I thought we didn't have to drink a bottle of wine.
Well, let's open a bottle just in case.
Okay. Did you bring a cheese to accompany it, too?
What cheese pairs well with a promo? Promalone? Promazon? Pro-mozzarella?
Oh, goodness. Well, as you might have guessed, every week we have wine and cheese on our show.
And we pick a different topic for each episode. We find out interesting and quirky aspects of it, including the history, the etiquette,
the controversies and injustices surrounding them.
Okay, we know, James. Everything is terrible. How would you describe it?
It's fun and informative, but not too informative or didactic.
Yeah, but we don't use words like didactic.
No, never. Anyway, you can find us at classylittlepodcast.com.
Or on your podcatcher of choice every Wine Wednesday.
Cheers!
Cheers!
And with that, we're going to jump to yet another little piece of vintage epic film, guys. This is one of our most controversial reviews, and I don't want to post the boring ones or the ones where we just kind of gush and rave about something. This is our Maleficent review. Justin and I saw this opening night back when it opened last year. Safe to say that neither one of us liked the film. I completely trashed the shit out of it. I hated it. Justin didn't fare too much better than I did, but I was pretty vicious about it. And it paints this black and white picture of, you know, all men are terrible, all men are evil, all men are the source of all bad things in the world, and all women are great and wonderful and pure and everything. And I take issue with that because I believe the world isn't as black and white. I believe that there are bad men. I believe that there are bad women. I believe that there are good men. I believe that there are good women. You know, there are, of course, great, great, strong females. I love a great, empowered woman, you know, in any film. But this wasn't, to do it at the expense of the other sex is just, isn't it shitting all over the opposite sex? Exactly one of the things that's so bad about the way that women have always been treated, how misogynistic, you know, film was for a time. It's not okay to just reverse that and then just completely shit all over men in retrospect, at least as far as I'm concerned. So, like I said, Justin and myself both took pretty heavy issue with this film. This is our review of Maleficent.
There is a legend of a dark and powerful fairy and her curse on a sleeping beauty. You know the tale. Do you want to know the truth?
I know you're there. Don't be afraid.
What's up, film fans? It's Nick here.
And Justin.
And we're the Epic Film Guys, and we just came back from Maleficent, 7:30 showing at AMC. And Justin, what did you think?
I'll start right off. Maleficent is Disney's current revisioning or rebooting of the original Sleeping Beauty fairy tale story that they did back in 1959 with the animated feature. It is their way of trying to retell the story in a new, broad, modern way and making it current with the times, as well as trying to make it its own franchise. As far as you're asking me immediately right off the bat what I thought.
What do you like? What did you like? Tell me what you liked.
What I liked about it is probably... Okay. J- Jolie, perfectly cast for some of the scenes. I mean, there's a... She was great as Maleficent in some of the scenes, I think. You got me... my arm around my back here, and it's pulled really tight.
No, feet of the fire.
Overall, there wasn't much to like here. There really wasn't. I went into it with an open mind. I had watched the trailers. I'm an original fan of, you know, obviously a lot of old Disney movies and the original Sleeping Beauty film. So I had a lot of promise that this could be good. But other than the trailers, I didn't follow it very closely. It wasn't something that was a big deal to me. So after seeing it tonight, I mean, there was a couple good action sequences. There was a really good battle sequence. You know, and there's some cool flying scenes, but aside from that, I mean, there wasn't much for me to like. Nick, what did you like about the movie? I mean, come on, really be honest. What did you like about the movie?
I thought that this movie was fantastic as soon as it was over. This was a train wreck on film, and he is going to be way nicer than I'm going to be about this pile. Jolie was pretty much the only redeeming factor in this film, and even that wasn't enough to save it from being an abomination. It was freaking terrible. I hated this film. Absolutely hated it. But before I'm gonna get venomous here tonight, and I want to pitch it back over to Justin to talk a little bit about what you thought about the production design and things like that.
Well, here's one thing about the film. Disney's got their cards perfect as far as the production design. The director, it's his first time directing a film, Stromberg. He actually worked on production design on Oz the Great and Powerful, Alice in Wonderland. So the man visually knows where he wants to take the movie as far as the look of the movie. He did work on Avatar as well. So I gave him some credit first and foremost. The film looked like it was shot very well. A lot of unnecessary CG moments. I mean, the three fairies in the film, and I'm sure you'll get to that as well in your piece, which are actually main characters in the original Sleeping Beauty cartoon. In this movie, they're kind of like left in the background. I mean, they're there here and there, and the plot holes come when they're not there.
They're really marginalized, I would say.
They are.
Marginalized.
When they're done, though, they're done with no purpose, and the CG is unnecessary. You could have just shot them practical and shrunk them down. I mean, but there are some cool battle scenes that look visually entertaining, but it's really not enough at all. I mean, it's not enough to really do much for you, to stimulate you after. I mean, we've had, so what, this season we've had X-Men Days of Future Past, Godzilla, Spider-Man 2. You know, after those, I mean, and seeing this, it really wasn't.
Especially coming out of X-Men last week.
It was, yeah.
This was abysmal. This was, I'm sorry, but this was a terrible, terrible film. And I want to branch right off of what you were saying.
Yeah, let's get to your
go right into what I thought.
Yeah, I want to know. Yeah, let's hear it.
Essentially, here's the good and the bad. The women good, men bad. This is entirely a film about female empowerment. And I don't
want to
say that I disagree with the fact that females and males, everybody deserves to be equal in this society. I absolutely agree with that. But here's what the problem was in this film. They turn Maleficent, an outright evil character. There she is right there.
One of the best Disney villains, mind you, of all time.
Absolutely agreed. They ended up turning this into a revenge story. She was only bad in the film because a man wronged her. Women in the film are everything that's good with the world. They are nature. They are the loving, fun, friendly, the fairies in the opening scenes, the mud creatures, and I know you want to talk about that. All that different stuff. They are the fun nature. They're the happy, wonderful side of life. The men are iron. Iron, which hurts the fairies, which they touch on early on. It's a plot device that they use.
Burns.
It burns their skin. Men are war. Men are fire. And you can see this picture of Geralto Copley as the king, who was terrible in this film, by the way, coming up behind us here in a few slides. Essentially, that's quintessential. That's what they thought of men in this film. It trashes all over men for the sake of, you don't need a man. You know, the female in this film was only bad and only did bad stuff because the man wronged her. And I disagree with that completely. I think it was a terrible choice. And Justin, just branch right off of that.
I'll cut right in. And here's the thing that I will immediately get into. And this may make some of you uncomfortable. But the film, in retrospect, felt like it was a rape story. I mean, Maleficent in the
beginning... I don't even say it felt like it was. It was.
Right. I mean,
point blank.
The film starts off, we have Maleficent as a young character. And she is a young fairy. She's got wings. She meets this young boy. And she falls in love with him on her 16th birthday. They kiss, but then it, quote unquote, from what the narrator says, it's never meant to be. Then you see her, like, about 4 years later, and the young boy, who wants to become king, ends up coming back after the king tries to challenge this Elseworld, which is basically Maleficent's character and all these different creatures, these wooden creatures that
forest,
come out of the ground.
The forest, the innocence, the innocence of the world.
Which is very visually stunning, mind you, but when it happens, there's a very cool battle, which I actually very much enjoyed. And then the boy who she fell in love with when they were young wants to become king and finds out that whoever kills Maleficent will become the next king. So he goes out, lures her in, and then guess what he does? He cuts off her beautiful wings, which in basic
he deflowers her,
and it's basic rape storyline.
She wakes up after the scene happens, and Jolie is in anguish. She is screaming
upset,
so angry that she's been so violated in this manner by this character. I know you wanted to touch on, you know, the creatures in the swamp and stuff like that.
I felt that the creatures in the swamp were almost completely unnecessary to the story. A lot of the scenes in the movie, and again, we know that this movie is mostly targeted towards children or families, but it was nonsensical. It made no sense. I mean, a scene from a very dramatic scene will go right into a scene with Maleficent now as a friend to the character that she's supposed to curse and wants to die in the original. Now to, I'm your best friend, I'm watching over you, I'm your fairy godmother, I'm going to watch you and make sure you're safe, basically the whole movie. And there's these little creatures jumping around, and they're badly done in CG, mind you.
They don't even look good.
Everything's all green screened in a bad fashion. Nothing looks good here. I mean, and this goes back to taking a very villainous character, one of the best that Disney's ever had, and sorry to use the terminology, they bastardized her.
And I'm going
to
spoil the film right here, so spoiler alert, stop it, or skip past this part if you don't want to watch. But she's not wakened by the kiss of the prince in this film.
It's Maleficent.
It's when Maleficent kisses her on the forehead. It's matronly. It's that motherly love.
Maleficent.
It's the mother and daughter bond. Men are worthless in this film, and I actually want you to touch on that with the Raven, I don't even know what his name was, the Raven guy.
Okay, here's the thing. In this movie, every male character is pretty much worthless.
Marginalized completely.
We have the original the Raven, who is Maleficent's right-hand man. In this movie, it's very quickly done in a very short scene of the Raven is being caught by a farmer for some reason and ready to be bashed to death. And then she saves his life, turns him into a man, and then for the rest of the movie, he's her servant, and she turns him into whatever creature she wants to do her bidding. I mean, it couldn't be any more shoehorned in than that. Aside from that character, which was one of the only redeeming males in the movie, we have Prince
redeeming
Philip.
Redeeming in the fact that he was subservient to the female lead.
Right.
Time.
Prince Philip is in this movie. Prince Philip is very integral to the original fable and the original Sleeping Beauty cartoon. And in this, he's so stupid, he doesn't not only know where he's going, but he makes really no impact on the film. I mean, he's there, but he's there for about a couple minutes screen time, and...
You're pretty, Sleeping Beauty.
I want to kiss you, but nothing I do will wake you up. First and foremost, we're not going to spend a lot of time going off on a tangent on this one, just because we know that Disney makes movies to make money. That's what Disney does. And what they made here was something that they're hoping will make little kids want to go see movies, but For me, they took one of my favorite Disney villains, probably the most evil and badass Disney villains of all time, and they ruined it. And they ruined it, mind you, by having Angelina Jolie, as amazing as she is, in that scene there, when she casts the spell, she's so great. She even gets...
She captures the evil essence of the character absolutely perfectly. And like, her voice, the way she emulates the voice.
She channels Eleanor Audley perfectly, which is the voice actress of the original cartoon. They give her the look. Everything's perfect. They waste it. They make her an anti-hero for no reason.
That's the only scene that happens in. That's it.
There's about 5 minutes of her being evil.
She's only bad. She's only bad because a man wronged her. This
man
right here.
Wronged her?
Look at, like I said, the fire. The metal, the steel. Man is industry. Man is war. Man is violence.
Man is wrong.
Woman is peace. Woman is nature. Woman is serenity. Man bad, woman good. And I don't even want to talk about this pile of crap anymore. I really don't. So I'm going to throw it right out there. 2 stars out of 10. And I'm being generous because Jolie was decent enough in the film. And there was some decent production design like Justin already touched on.
There was.
I'm done. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. This film is terrible. Do not go see this film. Run. Run from the theater or go see X-Men again or Godzilla because you're going to have a far better time than this train wreck disaster.
I gave it a long shot. I really hoped it would be good. I walk into everything as any film or movie fan would do. And, you know, a quarter way through the film, I realized that the script probably had about 3 to 4 rewrites on it, and they didn't really know what tone they wanted to go with. Very uneven tone. Just to give it props for what Jolie did in it, I'm going to give the film a 4 out of 10. That's the worst rating
that
I have given the film.
Generous
probably
rating I can even think of.
I can't even remember the last time I gave a film that rating. And we didn't, like I said, we didn't spend a lot of time following the film. Very short, just because you never know what's going to happen with Disney. They're hit or miss. I love Disney. I grew up loving them. But this movie just sorely lacks everything.
This is what
that
this film
Disney
needed.
What it is.
This is what the film needed right
they
here.
They phoned it
classic
in more
Maleficent
than once.
Right
and
here.
They change it. They bastardize what I would consider one of the beta best villains of all time in Disney mythos. I mean, literally, they bastardize. They change everything that makes that character awesome and badass and villainous. She's no longer villainous. She's no longer awesome. She's just a lame anti-hero. She kind of just hangs around for the whole story and does nothing. 4 out of 10. Epic film, guys. Maleficent review. We have Edge of Tomorrow coming up next week. We are doing an early screening of
Monday.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Monday.
Hearing great things about the Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt sci-fi action mashup. We're very excited. But until then, Epic film, guys. Justin and
Nick.
We'll see you soon. Love you guys, and let us know what you think.
Thanks.
All right, and as I said, we get pretty heated in that review, so that's going to pretty much satisfy the requirement for Nick's rants in this episode. And we're going to get to another very big rant here in just a little bit. But I wanted to just take a moment. Our audience has exploded, especially ever since the Potter and Family thing. But our audience has been growing very, very steadily for the past 2 months. And I want to just take the opportunity as 2015 comes to a close and we have now crossed the 26 episode mark. So we're officially more than a half a year old. So we wouldn't be here without you guys. So as we talked about in the last episode, we're going to be doing a lot of things such as a website, Epic Film Guys swag, merchandise that you can purchase, all sorts of things that we've got coming up on the horizon. And people have been asking me a little bit what exactly this rebranding is going to mean. You know, the podcast is very likely going to stay mostly like it is. We're basically rebranding just to kind of clean it up. The Epic Film Guys Real Rundown podcast is a little bit of a mouthful, and it's really not very necessary. I love the name, The Real Rundown. We'll probably still use it for something as the future goes forward, but we just wanted to clean it up just a little bit. You know, it made it seem like it was this kind of this separate thing, and it's not. It's very, very much a big, important part of what we're doing for everything. So just to kind of clarify that, we're going to add a couple of new segments. We've tossed back and forth a couple of ideas. I don't know how really a lot of them will play. We definitely want to keep doing the challenges. We definitely want to keep doing the epic previews. And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that we're going to keep testing out. We're going to keep adding. I am actually working on adapting a piece that I've written and maybe doing a little bit of serial drama with that. So stay tuned. I've definitely got a lot of great ideas going forward into the future. But now I want to close out the episode here with one last review. Now, this is a review that I'm probably still going to get some hate for once you guys hear it. You know, and hate me for it if you must, but when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, everybody else was riding this intense high of how great it was, of how much they loved it, of how much fun it was. Not for this guy. For this guy, it left just way too many plot holes, way too many unanswered questions, way too little in the way of character development and character motivation. So, you know, I rated the film a 5 out of 10 at the time. I haven't rewatched it since. On a rewatch, I bet you I would bump it up, you know, a point or two. But I would still have those big, deep, deep problems. And you know, if you listen especially to the earlier episodes where we just kind of trash Marvel left and right, episode after episode, it's because Marvel's villains repeatedly get no character development. Marvel's stories repeatedly get no character development. Or not character development, they get no development, period. You know, you get a little bit of development for the heroes, and then they're just kind of thrown into these fun situations. And yeah, there's some great set pieces, there's some great actors, there's some great characters in there as well. But on the whole, it's just not enough. It's not enough for me to really get invested in these films and in the outcome of these big battles. Like, these big battles look like they're supposed to mean something, but to me, they just don't. They don't, because it's just faceless enemies. It's like Transformers Revenge of the Fallen all fucking over again. It's just a whole bunch of faceless, mindless, pointless villains that you can't even fucking tell apart that are fighting against these heroes that have gotten barely any more recognition and development than they have. So this is our review of Guardians of the Galaxy. Again, Justin and I saw this live on release day, and we came right back, and we had a few beers in us when we got this review. Yeah.
What's up, film fans? It's Epic Film Guys here. Nick.
Justin.
And we just got back from a 7 p.m. showing of Guardians of the Galaxy, and we were pretty divided on this one. I think we've been debating for the past hour before we got on the camera here. So
a little bit.
We're each going to give you our thoughts of the film, and then I think we're going to debate on it. And I'm going to pitch it right to you, Justin. What did you think of the film?
I was entertained. You guys, if you guys watch our reviews, you know that previously neither of us were really all that interested in James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy. All of the trailers. They did nothing for us.
No.
And I speak for myself and him when I say that. We'd be in the theater and I watched it online and it's like, it just seemed kind of childish and adolescent and wasn't the tone that I was liking at all for that kind of movie. But early reviews came in and they were all good and I was like, well, I'm kind of surprised at this.
Pretty glowing, actually.
We went into it. I went into it with a mindset of just allow it to happen. And it did, and I was entertained. I had a fun time. I think the film was good, and I leave it at good. I don't think it was very good. I don't think it was great. I don't think it was excellent. But I think it was good for what it set out to do, even more so than some of the other recent Marvel fare. I mean, you know, to get into specifics, I liked the cast. I think the cast was very well put together.
Very well cast.
Chris Pratt, while a little flat in some of his line delivery, I think was actually a good lead. I liked everything they did with him. I loved the fact that the film started out in the 80s and that he's a child of the 80s and all the homages, you know, like little Elf and Garbage Pail Kid stickers in his ship.
Cassette tapes, big motif.
The cassette tapes.
Film.
Yep. I mean, I love the 80s. The 80s is one of my favorite things in the world. I live for the 80s. I'm so nostalgic about the 80s that when I saw those little things, it kind of hit my heart. And that goes to my main point about this movie, that it had a lot of heart for me. It felt like real. A lot of the other Marvel movies, they tried to be a little bit more serious, and a lot of it came off as being a little bit too serious, then it came off as being a little bit hokey. This thing knows what it wants to be. It wants to be fun, entertaining. It wants to be available for children alike. We got Rocket Raccoon up on the screen here, who stole the show, in my opinion, the entire
film. Owned the movie.
Cooper, voiced by Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll leave it at that. I mean, I really enjoyed it for a sci-fi action feature. And mind you, I wanted to let you know that when I watched this movie, I did not think of Marvel at all, because I'm not familiar with the comic characters at all. I was big into Marvel comics a lot when I was younger. I did not get into the Guardian storylines of the comics. So when I went into this just as a straight film fan and wanted to just take it as a movie. Nick, what did you think about the movie?
Well, going off of what he said about how this didn't feel like a Marvel film at all to him, completely disagreed. This felt exactly like a Marvel film to me. Very little development. He told me I can't use the word no. Very little development in the film. I don't care about anything in the film. Like every other Marvel film, they don't spend any time developing anything. They throw it at you. They say, here it is. Take it. And I'm sorry, like, the Rocket, very enjoyable. Cooper was great. Pratt, good. Saldana, good. Batista, loved Dave Batista.
Oh, yeah, I can't even praise him enough. He was really
good. You know, there was a lot of good performances in the film. There was a lot of fun to be had. Karen Gillian, though, come on. Go from Doctor Who, where I loved you, even though I despised how much the story focused on your damn characters. But, like, come on, some of the line delivery also came off pretty flat for Nebula.
There was, yeah.
But, like, overall, like, there was a lot of funny moments. There was a lot of fun stuff. The humor really played well in the film. But
more so than we thought. More so
way
than we
more
thought.
So than I thought. Way more so than I thought. I'll definitely give it that. Like, a lot of the humor was really, really fun. And to, he's goes on and on. He's going to use the word fun more times in this review than we use the word fantastic in the Edge of Tomorrow review. He is. But fun. But I'm still walking out of the theater, and I'm still terribly disappointed. Who was the Nova Empire? Who were the Kree? Who was anybody in the... You don't know. You don't know because Marvel doesn't think you need to know. I don't know anything about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Zero. I have never read a single Guardians of the Galaxy comic book. I've never read a single thing about any of the characters. Everything I know about it is in this film, and you don't know jack about anything that goes on. You know, like, one important character trait for all of the leads. That's it. Ronan the Accused, the big villain of the film, all you get from him is, oh, he's mad that they signed a treaty after, like, this thousand-year war. About what? For what? Who knows? Who cares?
I give it that much. But, you know, at the same time, I felt Ronan was a better villain than what we've seen in a lot of the previous
better than what we saw in Thor the Dark World from the Dark Elves. That, but I mean, granted, that was a low bar to clear.
I think it might have even have been. I loved what they did with Bucky and the Winter Soldier in the last Captain America film. But in this, I liked how Rodan looked. I liked that he was a physical presence, and I liked that the way that they made him out to be a villain. There wasn't a lot of development for him, and I definitely agree with Nick on that. I think that there's a lot of room for development issues in this movie.
I will
movie.
Say that they gave us more of Ronan than they gave us in the past
of,
few Marvel films.
Of the villains,
like you said, especially the Dark Elves and Thor the Dark World, still, of all the Marvel films, still dismally weak and terrible. So it was at least better than that.
I enjoyed what we saw of the villain, but it was kind of a wasted opportunity. Another huge, I mean, gigantic wasted opportunity in this movie is Thanos. We get him for, like, all right, you get Brolin.
Okay, no.
And then you shoot one scene.
Do you count the Star Wars reference in there with the talking scenes where he's talking to the projection? Definitely a lot of homages to Star Wars.
There's a lot of homages. I already assumed that, of course. And I think, like, in the past 35 years, I mean, it's kind of hard. A lot of these movies, you know, you see homages without them even necessarily being direct. I mean, we know James Gunn directed the movie,
direct
and
homages to Star Wars.
He helped write the movie. Mm-hmm. he's a Star Wars fan. And he started at Troma doing horror movies. He did Slither, for all you hardcore horror fans out there, with Michael Rooker, who's in this movie as well, who hams it up. And he's great, by the way. He's very enjoyable in this movie.
I kind of know how you can't love Michael Rooker in anything, because, I mean, he doesn't do anything challenge. He doesn't ever challenge himself, I don't think.
He's himself. He's him.
He's himself in blue paint and a metal
mohawk. And he's hilarious. I liked every scene. He has this little arrow that he can, when he whistles, it shoots out and it kills people.
Well, not done here, boy. Like, he's got that deep southern accent, and I mentioned this to you before we did the review. I was wondering when he first stepped on screen what he was going to sound like.
Yeah,
and then he starts talking, and it's literally just Michael Rooker in blue paint and a metal mohawk. But it works. It works.
I mean, James Gunn even went to the extent of actually having Lloyd Kaufman in the cameo in a prison sequence, too. Like, so he's loving his trauma roots there. He's loving his horror roots. I really love the way he directed the picture, and I love the way the film was shot. Beautiful, the CG looked great. I can't even say enough how I liked the way that Rocket was done and voiced. And this is the thing, it's so funny for me, because when you watch these trailers, I thought I was going to hate that. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a fan of these comics. I'm not a big Guardians fan. But that guy sold the show. Hence, on another subject, I have no idea why the hell they decided to cast Vin Diesel as Groot, because he says the same line, spoiler alert, I'm sure you all know, he says the same line the whole film, over and over again. Why are you going to cast it just to put his name in the credits, I think, right?
Maybe.
I mean, on the poster? The poster has to have Vin Diesel on it.
I don't know.
I think the Fast and the Furious franchise is big enough now.
Vin Diesel's not a draw.
Yeah, the Fast and the Furious movies are making tons of money.
The Fast and the Furious franchise itself, because there's been like fucking 20 films in it, that's a draw. I don't think Diesel's necessarily the reason why those films are a draw. Put Diesel in another film. Like, he hasn't been anything else, because everything else he's in doesn't perform that well. At least I don't think. I don't really follow Vin Diesel's box office receipts because I'm not his biggest fan.
Well, I'm not a fan at all. Point being, we want to know what you thought of the movie. So after we post this, we want to see your opinions. We know a lot of you out there really, really liked the movie.
A lot of you are going to disagree, especially with me, but you're going to disagree with us.
I only agree with Nick to the extent that if you look at a film like this compared to the tremendously amazing, you know, Apes movie that we saw this summer, it's hard to take anything else seriously now. But I know this is targeted towards a different audience. It's supposed to be more of a fun movie. There's that word, fun. And I know you did have some fun. You did. You did have some fun.
There was funny scenes.
You didn't hate the film, right?
I didn't hate the film, but I didn't like the film either. I'm struggling where to land on a rating, and I guess we'll go to ratings now. I'm struggling where to land on a rating because I didn't like it and I didn't hate it. Like, it's just, it's a film I watched. Like, that's kind of how I felt when I came out of it. Like, I'm pissed off about the stuff that I didn't like, and I'm happy about the stuff that I did like.
The
comedy worked, but, I mentioned this a couple times when we were debating about it before we got on camera, is, you know, Marvel wants us to be invested. There's this big climactic battle over Xandar, or whatever the name of the capital of the Nova Empire, the planet is, and there's this big battle between Ronin's forces and the Nova forces, and, you know, of course, the Guardians and, you know, the salvage guys, the Wreckers, whatever, is that what they were called, Wreckers? There's a lot of stuff in this film that really wasn't, but my point being that, like, I'm not invested in it at all. You told me nothing about it. You just, it's scenery. That's all it is, and you just painted it there, and you just slapped this movie against it, and I'm sorry. I need more than that in the film. Fun for me when I go to the movies is not only do I laugh, not only, you know, is it nice to look at or anything like that, but it invests me in the story and in the characters within the story, and I wasn't invested in this film whatsoever. It's a film that's not rooted on Earth. Like, there's no basis, you know, there's nothing to read
other than our main character was born on Earth.
But I mean, I'm sorry. I have to give the film right now 5 out of 10. I was very, very middle of the road with this one, and for every time I think of something that I loved, I think of something that I hated. And this Marvel formula, a lot of people are sold on it already, and I hate it. Because they don't develop anything. They don't care. All they do is they just throw this crap at you, and people lap it up, and I don't understand why.
I think they develop it. I just don't think they develop to the extent that you would hope for. and that you'd like to see.
Which is why I rate it the way I agree with you.
I agree with you to an extent. I mean, I feel like they did give some development for what they were trying to go for in this picture, and I liked it. Like I said, I did not love this movie. I didn't think it was great, but I really did enjoy it, and I think I enjoyed it because I went in with very low expectations because I thought I was going to hate the movie. Like I said, the trailers were not good, and I cared nothing about it. So when I went into it, it was just kind of like, my balls were cold, man. I mean, I didn't, there was no heart on there before anything. It was just kind of, oh, and I warmed up to it slowly, but it kind of almost got there. I think there's a lot of potential in a sequel.
Still.
I'm very glad to see Chris Pratt as a leading man. It's good to see new up-and-coming actors.
I love
doing
Pratt.
Their
I
thing.
Will say that. Like,
the performance has made it enough for me, you know, where I enjoyed it. That's what mattered to me in the movie. I saw all the faulties right. The script was a little bit weak. I think that if you gave 5 to 10 more minutes of character, we say
easily.
That about everything.
Easily.
I think
this film did feel really short, and it could have easily been like 10 minutes longer. Just it doesn't even have to be long scenes. Just more.
A little bit
more. Spend a little bit more time developing this world, because from my perspective, watching this film, I felt that this was developed for fans of the comic book. I don't feel
that
this film was very inviting to me, the guy who's never ever heard of these characters or seen anything about them. It wasn't very inviting to me, because I don't have the backstory from the comics
to
float me through.
It was a throwback to old school 80s science fiction action movies, adventure pictures, just without saying so, I'm going to give the film an 8 out of 10.
Wow. Wow. James Gunn show up and give you like a cool 150 or something before we started filming this?
Alright guys, I gave Amazing Spider-Man 8.5 out of 10 on my second viewing.
Where the hell that rating came from?
This is a better made film than that all around as far as direction, cinematography, and by the way, I love Tyler Bates' score in this movie. That's one thing that got me through the whole thing. Lately, I'm not one to complain about scores, but I'm like, half these movies, the score is so weak. And I loved the opening movie, the score in this, and I loved all the way through what he did with the score. It felt old school, bombastic, and very energetic, and I liked that. Yeah. So there you go.
I'll give it that. The tone of the film worked for it, but I mean, the rest of it, I'm sorry. It didn't work for me.
So neither of us hated it. Neither of us loved it. But I enjoyed it. He slightly enjoyed it, slightly hated it. It's the Epic Film Guys rating. And this is Justin.
And Nick, dismally disappointed.
It's okay. We want to hear what you have to say about the film. Get at us at facebook.com/epicfilmguys and our YouTube page.
It is youtube.com/epicfilmguysny. And follow us on Twitter, please.
Special thanks to Upstate Merch, our sponsor for these awesome Epic Film Guys t-shirts. So, last minute for Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sure Dylan probably enjoyed the movie, and I'm hoping that I hear from you and Chris on how you guys enjoyed the movies.
I'm hoping. What I want is, I just want you to tell me why you enjoyed the film, aside from the action, and aside from Rocket being funny. Because I like those parts
funny.
Too.
Rocket was very funny.
But I'm sorry, I wasn't invested in the script.
I laughed.
I was not invested in it whatsoever. And that's... How did this film invest in you? That's my question. Epic Film Guys, out.
I want to thank you all again very, very much for listening. And as always, you can find us over on Facebook at facebook.com/epicfilmguys. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at epicfilmguys. And... the home of our podcast is podbean.com, so it's epicfilmguys.podbean.com. Please, please, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a rating. What helps us the most and what will help us grow even more is your ratings. So just go on iTunes, just click whatever star rating you feel is appropriate. You don't have to just slap a 5-star rating on us. If you don't think we're any good, tell us. Let us know. We're always open to suggestions and we love feedback. I'm a writer. One of the biggest things that I actually miss about being in college is that peer review process where people, you know, say, hey, I think this, or I think this, or I think this. And it's just, we welcome your criticisms. We welcome your feedback. So let us know what you think. If you have any ideas for segments you'd love to see us do or anything you'd love to see us talk about, please let us know if there's anything that's just not working for you. Also, let us know. And we'll see you at the movies.
Me, there are more terrible things than musical comedies where everyone sings.
There is something worse, and it really does blow
when a long-running series does a cheesy clip.